invite you to turn with me to John chapter 8 for our message and our passage that we're looking at. And I want you to think about, as Pastor Lewis said a moment ago, what July 4th means to you. Of course, if you travel back to July 4th, 1776, hopefully these words will be familiar to you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our founding fathers were seeking to be delivered from the bondage of Great Britain. The shackles had been placed over them. They were living in bondage and were longing for freedom to express all that God was doing in them and all that God wanted to do through them so they could reach their God-given potential. So our founding fathers sought to declare independence so that they could be free to express all that God wanted to do in them and through them. And we are thankful for our founding fathers. We are grateful, aren't we, to live in a nation that is free, that we are free to express our worship to God this morning. We are free to join God in His activity. We are free to allow God to display His goodness and His glory and His light and His love through our lives. We have that freedom. But the question I want to know this morning is, what are you doing with the freedom God has given you? As a United States citizen, you live in a free country. You can create. You can chart new waters. You can cross bridges. You can go through open doors. You can take out a machete and clear the brush and create so many wonderful experiences and opportunities. But on a deeper level, what are you doing with the freedom that you've been given in Christ? For some reason, we are free in Christ, but then we live as though we're still in bondage. We forget that we have been delivered out of Egypt. And then the challenge is to get Egypt out of us. So the question is, are you willing to employ and enjoy the freedom you have in Christ? We're now in John chapter 8. We'll look at that in just a moment. I want to give you a few steps to write down. Steps to employ and enjoy your freedom in Christ. Let me give you step number one. You ready for it? Say amen. I feel like we need some fireworks in here. Step number one, get to know the truth that sets you free. And be sure to capitalize truth. Get to know the truth that sets you free. God is up to something very special in our midst, and I don't want to miss it. God is up to something very special in our nation, and I don't want to miss it. The question is this: are you willing to employ and enjoy your freedom in Christ? The first step is a non-negotiable. You will live the rest of your life in bondage. You will not be delivered out of Egypt. You will not have Egypt delivered out of you if you don't get step one solidified in your life. It's so important to get to know the truth that sets you free. We're in John chapter 8. Look at verse 31 with me in the Word of God. If you're on your smartphone, just tell Siri to go to John 8, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's say that phrase together. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now notice their response in verse 33. They answered Him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" So Jesus is encountering the Jews. He's trying to get them to experience deliverance so they can enjoy freedom. But they are so steeped in their own religion that they are blinded to the truth. And the truth is right there in front of them. The truth is unveiling His reality to them. But they're in bondage because of religion. They're in bondage because of their ethnicity, and they're putting their faith and their security in their ethnicity and in their religion. And it's keeping them from experiencing the real thing. It's like whenever you get a flu shot, you get inoculated, you get a little bit of the real thing to keep you from getting the real thing. And that's what religion can do. It can inoculate you. It can keep you from experiencing the truth, and the truth is a person. Very important you write that down. Be a truth seeker. Truth is a person. And then in John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I remember when we were going through Experiencing God many years ago in 1992, and one of the phrases Henry Blackaby would use often is, truth is a person. And as truth seekers, we're seeking the person of truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus identified himself in one of the seven I am sayings of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means there's hope for the atheist, for the one who says there is no God. There's hope for the agnostic, the one who says there may be a God, but you can't really know him. There's hope for the agnostic. There's also hope for every person on this broken planet. As they come to know the truth as a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we have mission trips. Over 20 mission trips available for our church family to be involved in. That's the reason our middle schoolers went to Round Rock last week. To be on mission with God. Our middle schoolers were serving a community, serving Hope City Church and that church plant in Round Rock. Our students were serving God through being on mission with God, joining God in his activity. And they were loving on kids and sharing the gospel with kids and even going to businesses now. Listen to this. A Mexican restaurant, not for the sips and the salsa, but to wash the windows. Serving evangelism, just serving the businesses of that community, washing the windows on the outside and on the inside. While people were inside enjoying the chips and salsa, which I so connected with. But our kids are willing to wash windows outside and inside in order to shine the light of Jesus Christ. That's why we have Vacation Bible School on all four of our campuses. That's why we were willing to have a portable experience at Zwink Elementary for our first ever North Klein Vacation Bible School. And 424 people showed up to be a part of that. Why? Because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So step one is that you embrace this reality, get to know the truth that sets you free. And we are committed to telling people about the truth. We believe John 3:16. Is still a reality. For God so loved the world. If you know with me, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We believe Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We believe Romans 1:16, where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Here's my question. Have you come to know the truth? Have you personally come to know the truth? It doesn't matter if you have godly parents or godly grandparents. It doesn't matter if you have a godly influence all around you. Have you personally come to know the truth? And remember, the truth is a person. We find the truth in Acts 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching the truth, and they delivered this fortune teller from demon possession. Her owners were upset because they were losing money now. They had Paul and Silas thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. And then we read in Acts 16 where it's midnight, and most of the prisoners, of course, are asleep, but not Paul and Silas. They were praying and singing praises to God. They were like our praise team and our praise band, just leading and glorifying God at midnight, not complaining, not belly aching, but they were praising God and praying to God. And at midnight, the jailhouse rocked. And we're not talking about an Elvis song here. We're talking about God intervening at midnight. And their shackles were loose. The doors were now open. They were free to go. And the jailer, fearing the emperor's revenge, is about to take his own life with a sword. And Paul and Silas say, wait, we're still here. And that jailer runs to them and he falls on his face before them and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Not only did the jailer come to faith in Christ, not only did the jailer come to know the truth and that the truth is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, but his entire family was saved. And all of them followed in believers' baptism. They were all in as a family. And what's so powerful, then they went into Lydia's home, and that became the church at Philippi. Get to know the truth, and know that the truth is a person. Step number two, demonstrate your discipleship. Demonstrate your discipleship. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. I love these words from Warren Wiersbe. He says, when we obey his word, we grow in spiritual knowledge. As we grow in spiritual knowledge, we grow in freedom from sin. Now, Jesus identified in the Jews that they were slaves to sin. They were unwilling to acknowledge the truth that Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. They were embracing their pattern of sin, their lifestyle of sin, and their sin separated them from a holy God. And yet the Savior of the world is unveiling his truth and his reality to them, and they're missing it. Missing it. Now I want to say to us this morning, don't be a slave to sin. Don't choose to be a slave to sin. Instead, choose to be a slave to righteousness. Because if the Son sets you free, say it with me, you will be free indeed. If you're writing your notes, Romans 6:10. Romans 6:10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In other words, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, tetelestai, it is finished. Paid in full. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul goes on to say, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. And then in verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin. Don't you love the word once? It means I used to be. It doesn't mean I now have to be. You were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Tanya and I have been here in our family now in our 12th year at Champion Forest. And before we were called here, I was serving as pastor in Baton Rouge for 7 years. And during my tenure there in Baton Rouge, we launched a men's ministry. It's kind of like the mafia, but it was called Mavia, M-O-V-I-A, Men of Vision in Action. And John Hudson, one of my dear friends, he and I would tag team teach early on Tuesday mornings, and men would gather. We'd have breakfast together, and then we'd do a teaching to become the men that God created us to be. And I remember one of my teachings on walking in victory and embracing moral purity, I had one of the men come forward after the end and said, you know, Pastor Stephen, would you just pray with me? I've been struggling with these areas of sin. They become a pattern in my life. And would you just pray with me? And I asked him to just get real with God in prayer first. And he just got real with God. And he unveiled all his struggle and just got honest before God. Then I prayed with him and that God would give him victory and sustain him and help him to embrace moral purity by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we had a really powerful time of prayer. And I just reminded him, when you bring sin into the light, it loses its bite. Satan does his best work in secret. That's why he keeps you in bondage. And we had a tremendous time of prayer several weeks later after one of our Mavia breakfast meetings and after the teaching time, that same gentleman came back up to me, and I said, well, how are you doing? How's it going? And I'll never forget what he said. I am sinning 50% less. To God be the glory. There's victory. I am sinning 50% less. And I was so thankful that he was willing to demonstrate his discipleship, to go public with his faith, and to realize that he's on a journey. He's been delivered from Egypt, but over time, Egypt has to get delivered out of you. And as you demonstrate your discipleship, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And church family and guests, you have the freedom to demonstrate your discipleship. You have been blessed with the freedom to put feet to your faith. You have the freedom to run from sin and run to God. You have the freedom to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. Demonstrate your discipleship. Here's step number three. You ready? Say amen. Express your new identity in Christ. Express your new identity in Christ. Next Sunday, we're going to be launching a series through the book of Jonah, a four-part series. And then we're going to turn the corner and do our no-grow-go strategy in August, and then Vision Sunday, the last Sunday in August. And then after that, on September 2nd, on our Labor Day weekend, we're going to talk about rest, the rest God provides. And then we're going to launch a series of preaching through the book of Ephesians. And very excited about those installments. And I love the first chapter because it's our in Christ realities. Cannot wait to preach on Ephesians chapter 1, which reaffirms our identity in Christ. Now look at John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus said, I know that you're an offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. Now, Jesus was exposing the Jews that he was talking to, saying that if you knew the truth, it'd set you free, that you could be set free. But your lives are such that my word has no place in your life. My word is not taking root in your life, and you're not experiencing my revelation, the truth, that I'm the way, the truth, and life. And as a result, you're living in bondage. They were unable to express their identity in Christ because they didn't have their identity in Christ. Their identity was in their ethnicity and in their religion. And Jesus was trying to get them set free. And I want to say to you this morning, your freedom has been established by the completed work of Jesus on the cross. I want you to stamp that in your life, that your freedom has already been established by the completed work of Jesus on the cross. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If you'll write Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 in your notes, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Why did Christ set us free? For freedom. That was his motive. For freedom, Christ has set you free. And being free in Christ means that we are free from our past and free to be the person God created us to be. I love that statement out of Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life that I read years ago, where he said, you may be a product of your past, but you don't have to be a prisoner of your past. Your freedom has been established by the completed work of Jesus on the cross. You have freedom to express your new identity in Christ. You have the freedom to enjoy being a new creation, the Bible says, knowing that the old is gone, behold, the new has come. You have the freedom to shine his light and to share his love. You have the freedom to draw near to the throne of grace, that you might find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. You have the freedom to have a growing relationship with Christ and to invite others into the journey. You have the freedom to depopulate hell in order to populate heaven. You have that freedom. Express your new identity in Christ. What are you doing with the freedom you've been given? Here's our final step. Learn to discern the voice of truth. Learn to discern the voice of truth. In verse 38, I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. It's a powerful statement here. Jesus is identifying that he's in tune with the voice of truth, the truth of God, that they're in such alignment. And he says to the Jews, you are listening to your father, and that's the small f, speaking of the father of lies, the devil, the enemy, the deceiver. And as Christians, if we're going to walk in freedom, we've got to learn to discern the voice of truth. You may want to write this statement down. The voice you embrace will determine the direction you face. The voice you embrace will determine the direction you face. Yesterday, we were at Galveston on the beach and enjoying the white sand. The water was really nice. Sometimes when you go to Galveston, get in the ocean, seaweed will wrap around you, and you'll feel like Jonah in the side of the belly of a whale wrapped in seaweed. And other things just kind of come by you. It just, sometimes it's not always pleasant, but yesterday was a really pleasant day, beautiful outside. The waves were so large, it's fun to swim out there, and the seaweed was minimal, and just a really good time. And we went back to the beach area after being in the water for a while, and we had our little two canopies set up, our little hangout space to just chill and enjoy the fragrance of salt blowing in your face and just enjoying a Sabbath day of rest and renewal and refreshment. And I noticed this boy's about 8 years old. He was right in front of his family just playing in the ocean. He'd get out a little bit further, and you could tell his confidence continued to grow as he would go out a little bit further and come back, and he'd go out a little bit further and come back. And as he was going out, I could tell his mom was here seated in a chair with the waves coming up over her feet, and looked like the dad was in his chair. The waves would come up and looked like a granddad here, and they were just kind of enjoying being together, had their hats on and watching the waves and feeling the breeze. And every time the waves would come up, their chairs would sink down a little bit. And then the wave would come back up, and their chairs would sink down a little bit more. So I was watching that, just seeing how low they would go. And I noticed that boy, we got a little bit further. And then he got out kind of far and where the current was really strong, and the current was going east toward Florida. So right at the beginning, he was right in front of his family, and then he drifted over a little bit, and I was looking at them to see how low their chairs were going. I looked back up, and he was further away. And he got a little bit further and a little bit further. And then after a while, he got pretty far away. And I was wondering, I wonder if he's okay. Well, the parents evidently thought the same thing, because when they looked up in front of him, he was not there. Now, I knew he was over there because I've been watching him, just seeing where he was going with this thing. And they stood up in panic mode. And we're trying to find him. And the mother took off first and was going down this way, looking. And then she finally spotted him. So she started going at an angle toward him. Then the dad got up and he was coming down. And he was going at an angle a little bit further. And I looked over the granddad. And he was having a hard time getting out of his chair, because when those waves came up, he got lower and lower and lower. He was at bottom out, all the way at the bottom. And he finally got up. And he saw him and he started going. And they were like making a beeline to the son and grandson to retrieve him. And finally, they got him back. And when they got near the bank, they had what we as parents call a come-to-Jesus meeting. A come-to-Jesus meeting. He was simply enjoying the freedom he had. But his freedom had a current. And that current took him places he didn't know he was going to go. And it took him out of view, out of safety. And that's what happens in our freedom. If we're not careful and led by the Spirit of God, we can allow our freedom to take us places we should never go. And that's why Paul said, don't let the grace of God become a license to sin. Don't let your freedom in Christ take you places you should never go. And that's why we need God's word planted in our heart. And I was wondering, I wonder if that boy, what voice he was listening to as he was going out. He was saying, I'm free. This is wonderful. This is alive. I should have done this a long time ago. And then he started drifting. And then he heard some other voices coming his way. His mom, his dad, his granddad coming to his rescue. And that's such a picture of life. We have so many voices coming at us, and we've got to make sure that we learn to discern the voice of truth. In fact, Casting Crowns has that amazing song, Voice of Truth. I'm not going to sing it. We don't need a fire drill, do we? Amen. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in, onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name, and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. And all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. If only we could learn to mute the voices of the enemy and learn to amplify the voice of truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.